I don't think it was like one thing. I think it was kind of like a pile of things that ended up just being kind of like unbearable to carry. So, I think like the gym environment that I was in, it was I first got into personal training and even like exercise science, all of that, because I truly want to help people. I still, that's what I do. I really want to help people. But in doing that, I think, like when I started, I didn't have enough depth of understanding of myself to be able to really, really help people or help people help themselves, essentially. So for me, it was I was pushing my body to the brink, and my athletic background is just kind of like that's how I operate, and that's how you're fit. But I didn't understand that being fit was not the same thing as being healthy.
Welcome to the Cubicle Revolution. This is a podcast about finding another way. It's about redefining success, finding the courage to follow that inner whisper, and creating a career path that speaks wildly to the deepest parts of your soul. For the successful but unfulfilled, the yearning but bored, the stressed out, over-caffeinated, desperate for more kind of person. If you're wondering how you got here and how to get out, put your headphones on and press play. I'm your host, Candace Carlton. Let's get started. Shelby Hensler, or as we like to call her, Shelbs, started her career as a hardcore personal trainer. She was almost a firefighter as well. But through her own experience of physical burnout and carrying an extra 20 pounds despite all her high-intensity workouts and eating kale salads, she started to explore what wellness really meant for herself and her clients. She's now the creator and owner of Unbound Collective, which is a movement and a wellness space in Newport Beach, California. I used to teach there and it's magnificent. She works full-time in the studio, one-on-one, coaching and supporting her clients in achieving true wellness through practices like movement therapy, somatic work, meditation, and yoga to heal their bodies and achieve true wellness. So the interesting thing about Shelbs too is she never has had an office job. She's created her own path from day one. And even in that, she's found a completely new, unexpected way and a new recipe for what wellness really means. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends. Also, I'd love it if you'd write a review because that means we get more people's eyes and ears on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Please keep the feedback coming.
I'm here with Shelby Hensler, who is the founder of Unbound Collective. It's a movement. It's also a studio. Shelves for every, and Shelby is a very good friend of mine as well, which I think is the most exciting part of this actually podcast is interviewing all the people I love and know. But Shelves, for everyone that's listening, skim your resume.
Okay. I've been an athlete my whole life. I played softball in college at UC Santa Barbara. I got my degree at Santa Barbara with my degree in sociology and exercise science, and the exercise science kind of was always my jam. I just kind of did it as a little extra on the side. Thought I was going to be a biz econ major, ended up not doing that, long story, but ended up being a sociology major and exercise science. And once I was out of college, actually like the end of college, I started personal training in just like a regular gym in Santa Barbara. And I was doing personal training. And that led me down into Orange County to do personal training. I thought I was going to go into the fire department.
Yeah, you were going to be a firefighter.
I was going to be a firefighter. Yeah. And so I started taking EMT classes, kind of had a wake-up call with that. I've had a lot of injuries in my athletic life, so I decided that it wasn't a very good idea to go into a very physically demanding career. I decided I wanted to be like more into like helping people heal and do more like the therapeutic realm. So changed my mind. So I was doing training during this whole time when I was an EMT, and then ended up going into massage therapy school after that. Did my massage therapy while I was training at a corporate gym down in Orange County. And then I think I've kind of always been doing yoga for for a long time throughout, but it was always very aggressive kind of yoga just from my athletic background.
Fast hot yoga or like what?
Yeah, and just like power yoga and like, you know, how many chaturangas can I do? And like, you know, just aggro.
Yeah.
The way that I've lived my life always. And then there was kind of this transition period of like going to massage school, kind of led into visceral manipulation. There's an institute called the Baral Institute. It's basically formed from an osteopath. So kind of went into the field of more of like the medical field versus just the personal training, that fitness side. So it kind of started overlapping with the fitness world and the health and wellness, and then just kind of has grown from there.
So how do you describe, how do you describe what you do now?
Oh my gosh. So I think like if I were to just kind of like sum it up in a nutshell, I would say that starting off, I used to help people work out, and now I help people work in, work out kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's like that just, to me, that encompasses so much because people are so different and they're at different places in their life and on their path that I can't say that I like do one thing with everybody that's the same other than that. I try to get them to tap into something a little deeper than just like, I want my arms to be toned. It's like, well, I want you to feel stronger. I want you to feel stronger. And if your arms get toned in the process, great. But like, I'm not here to make your arms look toned or your abs look ripped. Like I'm just not interested in that anymore.
So what are you there for? To do what?
You know, I used to, it's kind of like in, as my work has evolved, I think it's been like, I've came at it with like, oh, I'm going to help like fix people. You know, yeah. I had this whole mindset of like, you know, okay, me as a trainer, I was going to like push people and kick their butt and get them to their fitness goals. And then it started evolving into like, oh, like, you know, people need help. And so I'm going to go to massage school and I'm going to fix them. And then through my own journey and my own process of healing, I realized like that doesn't help anybody and I can't actually fix anybody. So really I'd say now it's evolved to a space of like, I'm there to hold space for people to observe them and see them as they learn about themselves. And I'm there like really as a guide to get them to know themselves better, whether that's like physically through their body, through their breathing, through like, you know, whatever like mental state they're in. I have a lot of people that come in with, you know, dealing with anxiety and stress from work and life. And we kind of delve into, okay, what's like the thoughts, what are the beliefs that are going on that's causing this anxiety? And so, yeah, it's kind of multidimensional.
Yeah. I feel like you used to say it was like movement therapy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
A little bit, you know, of like,
you can kind of package it up in a movement therapy. Exactly.
But so why would someone come to you?
Why would someone come to me? A lot of people come to me for pain relief. I get a lot of people that are in pain or like post-trauma, post-injury. They've been to different PTs, they've been to different massage therapists, they've been to doctors, and they just can't seem to find like the root cause of their issues. So I think I help people find that.
Because you do some somatic work as well. So it's like meditation. Right.
A lot of somatic work.
Yeah. And for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what that is, what is that?
Somatic work is really, our bodies are intelligent. Like they're much more intelligent than we realize, I think, especially in this modern age. Like we're quite disembodied. So the somatic work is going back into that land of tapping into the consciousness and the intelligence of the body that pretty much has all the answers, is from what I've experienced.
And so you can heal yourself, essentially.
100%. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so interesting. I've always been so intrigued by obviously the work you do because you've never had to work in an office, which is like so
jelly. It's amazing. Such a gift.
So jelly. But tell us a little bit more about kind of like, is there anything you could share with us of your own journey of like, you know, everyone I've been interviewing was on a certain path and really successful at that path. And then something made them realize they had to take a detour or they had to change. And I hear that from your story of like, I was go, go, go. I was into personal training. I did this crazy yoga. And then something happened that you realized you had to go into like a deeper way of healing or a different way of being.
Right. So what was that?
Yeah. What was it?
Turn around. You know, I don't think it was like one thing. I think it was kind of like a pile of things, that ended up just being kind of like unbearable to carry. So, you know, I think like the gym environment that I was in, it was, I first got into personal training and even like exercise science, all of that, because I truly want to help people. I still, that's what I do. I really want to help people. But in doing that, I think, you know, like when I started, I didn't have enough depth of understanding of myself to be able to really, really help people or help people help themselves essentially. So for me, I was pushing my body to the brink, and, you know, my athletic background is just kind of like, that's how I operate. And that's how you're fit. But I didn't understand that being fit was not the same thing as being healthy. Mm. So the health thing started to kind of come into play for me when it was like, you know, I knew all the things that I needed to do to eat well. Like I could count my calories and I could do this workout and I would burn that much. And, you know, it was just, number one, it wasn't fulfilling. Like it's so external. Like there's so much external focus on like, okay, if I look this way or fit into this size pants, then I'll be liked and accepted or whatever like goes through our head. But internally I was like, there was this time where I was just inflamed and I was pushing my body too hard and I wasn't sleeping well. I was like 20 pounds heavier than I am now. And I didn't know what to do. Cause I was working out and I was eating, you know, my kale salad and all of my things that I was supposed to be eating, but I was internally so inflamed. And, you know, diving deeper into that, like I was basically forced to slow down and my hormones were all over the place and I had digestive issues and, you know, the whole gamut of things that we hear about of just basically overtaxing our bodies, which is really, really common.
You were doing all the things that like diet culture tells you to do, right? Like work 100%. Out really hard, eat the kale, drink the juice, but like you weren't actually healthy.
Yeah, I wasn't healthy. And like deep down, I was not happy. Like that was not a happy state.
Yeah.
You know, I was just torturing myself, really. And like, for what? You know, like, it's just, I had a lot of, basically once I slowed down, it was like, I had a lot of shifting towards, okay, like this is clearly not working. So what do I need to do to shift what I'm doing?
And so what was the first thing you did? Yeah.
Gosh, it's like hard again to say like one thing. You know, I was working with Lori. Lori was one of my clients. So
she's in podcast episode number 2, I believe. Okay. So if you haven't listened
to that. So you know, our like spiritual mentor, Lori, she was my client before she actually transitioned from the bank into what she's doing now. And so I watched her through that whole process. But so we were kind of in transition together. And I just remember I was stretching her in her garage and, couple private clients that I would do that with. And she just looked at me and she's like, you need to do Reiki. And I was like, what the heck is Reiki? And from that, I started taking energy classes, got into Reiki, got into more of like the healing realm of things, went to massage therapy school. And I just started learning about our mind and our body as being one system and really starting to dive deeper into my thought processes, like what beliefs I had about myself, and, you know, a lot of emotional stuff that I was not dealing with. Like I would hit a punching bag for 3 hours as a workout, like, and just be like, okay, that was a workout. And it's like, that's not normal. You're angry about something,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. Which is a very inflammatory emotion that I was just not, I wasn't addressing.
So what I'm hearing really
showing up in my body.
Yeah. What I'm really hearing is kind of what you said in the beginning is like, you help people find that health from the inside out versus like take a strategy to make their external like look good.
Right. And you know what's funny? Like,
the outside doesn't work. Yeah.
No, it really doesn't. It's like a lot of like people really glow and look healthy when they've dealt with the emotional stuff. You can look at it like somebody that's fit, right? And if they're not dealing with their emotional stuff, there's still like an inflammatory expression. I don't know if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. I like look back on pictures of myself, even when I was in college, and it's clear, like at one stage I was totally depressed and it looks like I'm inflamed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I do. 100%.
Yeah. It's kind of like you can eat all the right things, do all the right workouts and still just not look or be healthy because the shit is inside of you that you haven't dealt with.
Yeah. And it's like those tapes in your mind that are just constantly playing. Like you're basically battling your body constantly until you deal with that. About battling with your body.
Yeah. What does that look like?
Well, you know, I think we're in a culture that does that. Like no pain, no gain. Like we have these sayings that's like, you know, that is the way to operate. It's to push yourself past the brink of exhaustion essentially. And like, I mean, you know, being an athlete, it's like, it has been really hard for my ego to swallow that. It still is to not like, whether that's pushing myself in a workout or pushing myself in my work or, you know, anything. It's like always striving to be better, better, better. And it's like, that's good in a sense, but there's such a lack of acceptance at the same time. And if you don't have that acceptance, you don't have peace. Like you just don't. And if you're not at peace, you're at war with yourself. Essentially.
Yeah. And then you're, by the way, you're binging or you're eating the shit you're not supposed to eat.
100%. Anyway. Oh, I'd walk around. Like, I don't even remember. It's like when you don't want to contact those thoughts. I mean, we just numb out. Like I would walk around with a full thing of peanut butter and eat the entire thing in college, like stressing out over a test or whatever it was. And it's like, you know, we just numb out, but we're never like directly touching on the actual root issue. It's like, yeah. It doesn't get anywhere, but into a deeper hole.
Yeah. Cause we're just trying to avoid it. Whereas actually if we dealt with it, it just moves much quicker. There's like so much power in that vulnerability.
100%.
But we're just not taught how to deal with it.
That's terrifying too.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. It's a scary place. And it's also not scary at all. Like I think it's a lot more scary than it's going to be. And then it like, you know, crying, for example, like never been a big crier. Now I'm like, I cry like every day.
I cry all like, the time. Do you know
yeah,
what
it's like
cry is America's Got Talent.
It's inspiring. Like people, like, you know,
people just giving it all. And for the first time being seen. And I'm just like, so moved by them.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, it just feels that vulnerability, it's like, it can be scary, but it's also so much more open. And like, I really think that that is where growth takes place because you're allowing yourself.
I was on a panel this last week. And one of the questions that they asked me was like, what do you think a powerful woman is? And I really, it was a career orientated panel, all these really high powered professional women, like totally rocking women. And my experience and my answer is, I think we are the most powerful when we're in the space of vulnerability, but it's like, especially when the shit hits the fan, when everything has gone wrong, it's very difficult to bullshit. And I think that is like where we really experience the strongest essence of like our power.
Yeah. And what we're capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we're capable 100%. Of. Like when it's really easy to bullshit and be all surface level when everything is going well in your life. But when everything kind of like just drops, it's like, who are you and what are you made up of?
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that's what your work really does, is like you help people create that container for accessing that space of vulnerability and their essential power.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
So Shelves, like for someone who's battling with, let's talk about women because that's who we are and that's generally who listens and who we're around. You're yeah. like, okay, like I have this really great job. I'm doing really well. I want to lose 10 to 20 pounds. I'm going to go and diet and exercise like crazy. Or I've listened to this podcast and Shelby's on it and she's telling me not to do that. Like, what are your essential, like, what's your advice?
You know, I would say, I mean, I think movement is great. Movement has to happen. Movement is life. It helps things move, whether you're talking about like the digestive system, whether you're talking about like a mental space. I think movement is absolutely essential, but the movement that you're doing should not be abusive to your body. Mm. It should be loving. That doesn't mean that you can't push yourself, but it does need to be something that's like, if I'm going to push myself, like there's a steep hill that you're trying to climb. It's like, instead of just looking at the hill and being like, that just looks too hard. It's like, you pace your breath, you walk up the hill, you know, it's like one foot in front of the other. It's like, it's still challenging, but you're not like, you're not sprinting up the hill, talking shit to yourself as you run up the hill, you know, like yeah. you're so fat. Why did you eat that burger last night? You know, you shouldn't have done that. How many calories is this going to burn? Like that conversation with yourself, I think is like the big transition point. Like even when you're sitting down to have food, it's like, you know, there's for me, pretty much like an 80-20 scale of like 80% of the time I eat really well. And the other 20% of the time I have pizza or my big fat greasy burrito or whatever. And like, there is absolutely no guilt attached to what I want in that like balanced space.
So what I'm really hearing is like, find movement that's joyful. And even if you're like working out, do it in a space of like challenge and enjoyment versus like brutalizing yourself or like punishing yourself.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the zone, like being in the zone.
Yeah.
There's like, I forget who was talking about this, but there's basically like proximal zone of development. And it's like, there is incremental challenge to progress. But if you push yourself too far past that incremental, like say 10%, that you're ready for, then like your progression actually goes in the opposite direction. So if mm-hmm. you push yourself 50% or 100% past what you're ready for, like you get out of that zone of challenging yourself and really like teaching your body something and teaching your muscles something and even like your mental space something. And you basically just fry yourself out.
So what is your like practice look like now in wellness?
There's a lot more meditation. And I'd say like within the meditation for me, like it's not just sitting in stillness. It's like when I'm quiet, like I can be going for a walking meditation or something like that, or I can be hiking. And it's like when it's quiet, what is there? Like I know, you know, a lot of times in meditation, it's like, oh, think of your thoughts like clouds and let them float away. It's like, I think it's much more interesting to those thoughts that keep appearing over and over and over again to like really look at them. And like, oh, hello, there you are again. Like, what is this about? Where is this coming from? Like, I really think we need to dissect where our beliefs are coming from. Cause I think that is ultimately, I think that is the root of a lot of our issues. And it's also the solution to a lot of our problems.
Okay. So you've got a lot more meditation. What else?
A lot more meditation with self-inquiry. A lot of yoga that's way slower than I used to do it. I'm much interested in like moving slower. So it's yoga. I walk. I can't even tell you the last time I went running. I used to run. I used to teach spin. Like I used to teach like 11 spin classes a week. And now I'm like, haven't taken a spin class. I don't know how long. Like I'll ride a bike down to the beach and back up the hill and swimming. It's honestly anything that I feel like doing. It's essentially, it's like I move my body every day and I try to have a pretty solid meditation practice where I have honest self-inquiry about what's going on.
Shelves, how do you define success?
I would say that success is really about being present and serving others. I think if you're doing those two things, I think that the money comes. So, you know, the money thing is definitely like you have to live in this world and have money be there in the background. But I don't think that we need to have that be our focal point or have it be our focal point for defining success. So really, I think it's being present. And in that process of being present, I think there's got to be some sort of joy that comes from that. And serving other people, it's, you know, I feel like teaching other people things, I'm constantly teaching myself things. So through that growth process, like if I'm helping them, I'm really helping myself. And that's, to me, that's the most success that I can ask for. And it's constantly evolving. Like, I don't think of it like a finish line.
What was it like for your clients that were personal training clients to move across to kind of more a healing mindset of like working out and moving?
Yeah. I mean, I still think that I am in a space where like there's a handful of my clients that don't quite, like they haven't fully like bought into the healing thing. It's like, I mean, I've had to kind of transition with them. So it's like, yeah. I didn't go just from like, okay, we're like personal training, we're working out. And now we're going into this, like, oh, we're going to do energy work and you're going to do all this breath work and meditation. Like I'm still having people move. It's just in a way that is so much more mindful and conscious than it was before. Like instead of going through like sets and reps and things like that, like I'm not concerned about how many reps people do. I'm more concerned about how much they're paying attention. Which is why I had my own studio in the first place, is to help people be more present and to help them pay attention so that things could be a little more clear.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered the question.
That totally makes sense. I remember you and I initially having conversations about when you were moving out of a more typical gym environment to creating your own studio. What was that journey like, and how did you know that that was like the right thing for you to do?
There was definitely anxiety there and a lot of like second guessing of, okay, well, if, am I just like, you know, jumping out of this plane without a parachute? Like, so there was anxiety there, but I really had to sit with asking myself, like, if I don't do this, what is that going to look like? And it was like staying where I was. It was kind of like, I'm pretty stubborn. And it was like staying where I was not an option. Like I was just over, I knew that in order to grow, I had to leave where I was at and move on to my own thing, essentially. But I'd say like the feeling of it was like, I think probably from sports and things like that, I think visualization was really big for me, where it was like, I could see myself in a space where I was really helping people be present. I was present. It was like, I could just see this. It was such like an expanded feeling in my body that it was like, okay, like it might be scary because you don't have all the moving parts figured out, but you need to go and do this because this is what you need to be doing. So it was just following that was like, I don't know.
How did that show up for you? Was it like a feeling? Was it a knowing? Was it something in your meditation? Like what was that like of knowing like, I've got to do this?
You know, I think it was, honestly, it was a kind of a combination of all of that. I would meditate on it and I'd just get this like, yes. It was like, I would ask, do I need to do this now? And it was like, I just get this expanded feeling that was, it was like I was relaxed, but also excited. And it didn't feel contracted. It didn't feel wrong. And, you know, as like a somatic person is a person very much in my body. I can tap into my physical body as something that can give me my answers. So it was very, I don't want to say it was easy, but it was very clear that like, that is what I need to be doing.
So tell us that if someone's making a decision, and I love this question, and I teach a version of this in meditation, but someone has a big decision to make, how would you suggest they tap into the wisdom of their body?
You know, I try to get people out of their heads as much as possible. I think our minds are great, but they also, they talk too much. So I get people to move down beyond the head usually, try to get them to tap into more of the heart space. Almost always it's the heart. Sometimes it can be in somebody's solar plexus in their gut, you know? But a lot of times it's like getting them to tap into even just sensing their physical heart and their body. A lot of times gets people pretty quick to find their own answers.
I feel that way. I had a work opportunity come up and I was like, everything about it was like going to be good money. I could rationalize why it was going to be good, but like, it just had that like feeling to it, you know?
Yeah.
Just like
heavy, contracted, yeah. like
for me, it was like a stomach wrenching almost like,
right.
You know? But then there's other opportunities where I'm like, oh my God, yes, let's go.
Right.
And it's totally that heart centered space. And I think it's really easy sometimes to dismiss that in favor of like more logical, rational, like reasoning. But right. I think when we choose our mind over that feeling, like we pay a price for it. And it's usually like,
oh yeah,
our happiness or like the quality of work that we can actually create what in that institute, in that example.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, I think that there's like, we're pretty resilient. And I think like you can be in a job that you might not necessarily like, but I think that there are ways that you can find joy in really simple tasks. Like I was, you know, there was points when like, when I was at the gym, I was like, oh my God, I'm so over being at a gym. Like I'm over this environment. It's just such a scene, you know, like it's all about the image. I'm just over it. And it was like, I could still find ways to like enjoy myself there because I knew that I was like going somewhere else. So it was like, I could be present in like the small little task that I had to do there. And I could be present with my clients there, but I had this like on the horizon. I knew there was like, I was moving towards that ultimately.
Yeah. Okay. So now I've got some questions for you. These are our rapid fire ones. Is your work your purpose? And do you believe that it has to be happy?
I believe that my work is my purpose. And you know, I dance with that a lot because every time I help somebody, I'm helping myself. So, which I think, you know, if we all better ourselves, I think we're going to have a better planet. I think we're gonna have a better world. So yes, I do believe that my work is my purpose. And then what was the second question?
Do you believe it has to be someone's purpose to be happy, that the work they're doing?
No. Right. No, I don't. Well, and kind of like what I was just saying, it's like, I think you can have purpose in folding your laundry, you know, like, and I mean, like doing work is like, I mean, maybe just making money to put food on the table for your kids. Like that could be that's a huge purpose.
Yeah.
You know, providing for your family is a huge purpose. So I think that you don't have to be like perfectly happy in your job. I think that you can satisfy that feeling of purpose and that feeling of happiness if you can link those two things in your brain and really like kind of switch your storyline around what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Advice to your younger self.
Oh, slow down. Yeah. Slow down. Yeah, slow down. Like pretty much. Yeah, give yourself space and slow down.
So you've never been in like an office environment, but what does the cubicle revolution mean to you?
The cubicle revolution mean to me. I think people should be moving. I'm really fortunate to have a job where I'm on my feet and I'm up and down. I'm, you know, moving with people all day. I think, you know, as far as like a revolution, I think being in a little box focused on one screen in front of you, I think can be soul sucking. So the revolutionary piece of that would be get out of the box. So whether that's like just in your mind or like taking more breaks where you can like go outside, I think outside needs to happen for people that are stuck in offices a lot of the time. So it's like, great. Like, you know, if you do like the stairs up and down, you know, there you go, you're getting your exercise. But I think it's far more productive for your whole system to go outside for like a 10-minute walk when you get a break versus just up and down stairs, because maybe you'll burn some more calories on the stairs, but you're still inside. And the staircase is like a dungeon in most offices. So like, I'd much rather be outside, like taking deep breaths and seeing birds and right. trees. And
that. When I was in an office, I used to take 2 15-minute walks at least during the day and then do That's moments awesome. Of gratitude just to like recenter and reconnect and really just to stay sane.
Yeah, I love it. And you know, they have those blue light sunglasses now or whatever they're called, blue light glasses. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I've seen them. But I love this idea of the metaphoric box, because that's really what it is. I think it's like getting out of that metaphoric box, whatever that is for you.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's, I think we need people in these kind of jobs, right? But like, I think we're also moving towards a lot of people doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, are you somebody that really has it to do your own thing? Or are you somebody that like really wants to work for somebody else? And if that's the case, like go do that, but like do it joyfully in a way where you can like have some freedom within that like little box that.
Right. You don't have to fit into that anymore.
Right.
Shelby, where can people find you?
I have a website, Unbound Collective, NB, like NewportBeach.com. They can check me out there. On Instagram, I'm Shelby Hensler or Unbound Collective, the studio Insta. And then Facebook as well. Same, Shelby Hensler and Unbound Collective.
Wonderful. And then we'll have that in the show notes for anyone tapping into their bodies or moving joyfully as, you know, for the first time, any books that you recommend.
For moving joyfully?
Any of it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I would like give specific books. Eric Franklin is really, he's a great one with somatic stuff. Eric Franklin has a book called, Dynamic Alignment Through Imagery, and our brains are, imagery is universal. So if you don't know anatomical movement or you don't know, you know, what your femur is from your ilium, like you don't necessarily need to, you can work with visuals that tends to tap into the mind body really quickly. It's a really good way to learn how to move and how to feel good in your body. So I would recommend anything by Eric Franklin, especially that one, Dynamic Alignment. And then anything by Pema Chodron. I love her. And she's based, like her Buddhist practices are, there's a lot of somatic stuff in their practices of just, you know, whether that's
Pema
like.
Pema Chodron is amazeballs.
Pema is freaking awesome. Yeah. yeah. Leslie Kaminot. God, there's just so many teachers, so many mentors that I could like give you like a huge list, but I'd say those are like my top two for that thing.
Beautiful. Shelbs, thank you so much for coming on. We love you.
Thank you for having
me. Everyone loves you. If you're in Newport Beach, check out the Unbound Collective, or you can follow them on Insta. It seems like that's people's chosen, or check out her website, but do move joyfully, do things you love, and eat in a way that is also, I think, joyful, nourishing. It's really, and deal with all the shit inside first.
Yeah. Deal with the shit inside. That's a big one.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Shelves.
Thank you.